I don't know about you, but I could probably call an altar call right now after just hearing that testimony. I love Brother Don. He is a pillar in my life. He never forgets to shake my hand. He says, I always got to shake your hand before we get out of this place. I appreciate the Lord tonight. God is good. And the scripture said he's good all the time. I need the Lord. I need the Lord today. Every hour of every day, I need the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Colossians tonight. And for some reason, this weekend, while I was picking up groceries, I was on my way to Kroger to do the online pickup deal. We drive up there and wait about an hour for them to bring your groceries out. And I was sitting there thinking, just meditating on the Lord. And for some reason, he just kept popping the scripture in my mind that says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, Christ in you, hope of glory. I'm so glad we have a hope that we can rely on today. I'm so glad we have a hope beyond this world. I'm so glad that we have something to look forward to, Brother Jason. Not just this life, but a new life after this one. And I don't know how people live day by day, Sister Serena, not knowing what's going to hold tomorrow. And I don't know how people go through life and hold on to a natural, carnality thinking, carnality mindset of what's going to happen to me after this life. I'm so glad I have a God that has an unchanging hand. I'm so glad I have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed innocent blood so that you and I might have life after this one. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we're going to start verse 15 here. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I understand this is the season of the cross. This is the season of bloodshed. This is the season of innocent blood. Verse 21 goes on, it says, in you that were sometime alienated, and the enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He in the body of the flesh, of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. And so this last verse here, actually, I got a couple more verses. Sorry, I got lost. Verse 24 says, who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. How many understand? God wants to manifest himself to you. He wants to manifest himself to you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For a minute, if you want to lay your Bibles down, we're going to pray real quick, and then we're going to get to some preaching. Lord, I love you tonight. I praise you. I worship you. Lord, you're an on-time God. Lord, I ask you just to move in a mighty way tonight. Lord, touch some lost soul. Lord, touch those that have been in the church for a long time, Jesus. Lord, help us to be rejuvenated, Lord. Lord, I love you tonight. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the testimony, Brother Don, Lord, tonight. Lord, of being having a sober mind, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for all things in this place tonight. Help me to preach your word and teach your word tonight. I love you. I give you praise and glory, honor. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. 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 You may be seated. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm so thankful I have a hope today. God's glory is not something that he gains, but God's glory is something who he is, Brother Don. It's who he is. It's the totality of being encompassing his attributes to power, wisdom, his goodness, and his beauty, Brother Carl. The Bible describes God's glory as being displayed throughout creation. We see the birds chirping. We see grass starting to grow again. We see flowers starting to bloom. We see mountains. We see so many awesome natural things out in the world that represent God's glory. It represent how powerful he is, and it represent what he can do. And so it also represents his redemptive acts and his interactions with you and I, humanity. And to give glory to God, we often say that term in church, we give glory to God. It often means to acknowledge him and to honor him, Brother Paul. I mean, I want to honor God in everything that I do. Everything I do, I want to image God. I want to be like Jesus. I want to talk like him. I want to act like him. I want to do what he's called me to do. We as believers are promised a glorified future where we will experience God's presence and beauty in a way that is not possible here in the present world. Help me understand that. There's we sing the song, Over in the Glory Land. I'll join that happy angel band, just over in the glory. How many want to be over in the glory land? How many want to make heaven your home? We sang about it tonight, but do you believe in heaven tonight? Do you believe that there's something after this world? I don't know about you, but I'm not saying this in a bad way, but I'm tired of living in this world. There's so many wrong things. There's great things. Let me tell you something. There's great things, but what lies ahead of us is so much greater than what's before us today. And I want to make heaven my home. I want to be in that glory land. We say the hope of glory, but it is not just a wishful thought, but it is a confident expectation, a belief in a glorious future. One day, I'm going to make heaven my home, Sister Serena. One day I want to cause my family to make heaven their home. One day I want to lead my friend to heaven. I'm so glad I have a God who I can put all my hope in, who I can put all my trust in. He's the God that will never fail, Brother Ken. He's the God that stays true, that stays closer than a brother. Many people put their hope in retirement. Many people put their hope in a perfect job or the perfect relationship. But can I tell you that we must put all of our hope in Jesus Christ. We must put everything we have into Jesus Christ tonight. The things of this life will fail you and I. The things in this life will let you and I down if we put all of our hope in it. He says in his word that he desires to give us good gifts. So many times we look over our life and we're like, Lord, why did you do this to me? Why did you do that to me? Most of the time, about 99% of the time, it's because of the choices and the decisions that we've made that have put us into those places. But God desires to give good gifts to you and I today. And so throughout all of the mess of the world and all the turmoil the world has to offer, can I tell you that there's still hope today for you and I? The Bible says, if you read all the way to the back of the book, it says it's not going to get any better, but it's going to get worse. and it's going to be worse. It's going to be harder times. The devil's going to try harder and harder than he's ever tried before to tear apart the church and tear apart people, tear apart relationships and tear apart marriages and tear apart the church tonight. But can I tell you that that's not going to happen on God's watch. And Jesus has a plan for you and I today. And if we can stick true to his unchanging hand, we're going to see you and our families, and we're going to see people over in the glory land that stuck it out and said, you know what, I didn't fall prey to the enemy. I didn't fall prey to Satan's plans, but I stuck it out. I stuck it out. I'm so thankful that I have someone that loved me so much that he gave his life for me. Before I was even thought of in this world, he knew me. Before I even took my first breath, he had me on his mind. Before I was anything, he thought that I was something. Sister Melissa. He was the spotless lamb. He was that sinless sacrifice that was offered on Calvary's cross. That shedding of blood is what paved the way for us to have a hope that goes far beyond this natural life. It was the cross that paved the way. It was the nail-scarred hands that paved the way. It was the crown of thorns that paved the way for you and I. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. If we have that scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith who? The Lord. Thoughts of peace." How many would desire peace in this place? Maybe you've come into this place and you feel like I have no peace in my life. Everything is in disarray. Everything has been shattered. Everything has been turned upside down. But can I tell you, God can give you peace in the time of trouble. God can give you peace. Only God can give you peace in the time of trouble. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. Can I tell you tonight, church, there's a lot of unexpected things that may happen to you and I in our lives. But we can be rest assured that we have an expected end in this place. If you can find a place at this altar, you can find an expected end. If you can find a prayer closet at your house, you can find an expected end. If you feel like there's nothing, if you feel like, I can't expect anything. I don't expect anything. You know, you should expect something from God. You should expect something from God because he has everything he can to give to you tonight. That one day, the Lord has prepared a place. That one day, you and I can make heaven our home. We can expect that tonight. That one day, we can live with him for eternity. I want to make heaven my eternal home. I don't want to make hell my eternal home. I don't want to make the gnashing of teeth my eternal home. I don't want to be cast into outer darkness and make that my eternal home. But I want to be on those pearly gates and those streets of gold, and I want to look at Jesus' face for eternity. It is that hope in Jesus that keeps us going. It is the hope of glory. We all have had the expectation to one day see his face and bask in the glory and the honor and the majesty of who he truly is, Brother Jason. I want to see who God truly is. I want to see his face. I want to see the one who saved me, the one who raised me up, the one who turned my life around, the one who healed me, the one who delivered me, the one who kept me, the one who provided for me. Paul wrote this letter to the people of Colossae while sitting in a jail cell. Sister Laney, he was bound in shackles. He was imprisoned for his belief. He wrote this letter to the people of Colossae in a jail cell. Can I tell you tonight, your expected end isn't what God's expected end is. Your expected end isn't what God's expected end is for you. I'm going to tell this church tonight that it is the Holy Ghost that gives us hope of glory. It is the Holy Ghost. It is His Spirit that dwells inside of you and inside of me that gives us an eternal hope of glory tonight. We may have some bumps in the road, Brother David. We may have some hiccups here and there. It may feel like life has taken a detour, but if you have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you have a promise that you can hold on to today. You have a hope beyond this world. You have an expected end. I can remember as a young child, and I grew up in church, and I went through the whole Sunday school gamut. And I went to church. I've been in church my whole life. That doesn't mean I've been in church. I've been in and out of church. I've been sitting in a pew and sitting on a drum stool, a sinner. And I can tell you right now, you can live in the church. You can be in the church and not be of the church. You can be in the church and be not of the church and not be for the church. But I can remember as a young child waking up out of my bed one night. And I can remember, you know, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning, and I was so scared that I would go to sleep and wake up in hell, Brother Jason. I was so afraid that I would wake up in hell. And I ran. I can remember running to my parents' room and saying, you know, I'm so scared, Mom and Dad. I don't know why. I just feel like if I go to sleep tonight, I won't make heaven, Brother Ken. And I had that conviction in my heart at a young age because I was brought up in this thing. But, you know, at some point, we got to realize that I got to make heaven my home. At some point, you got to get to the crux of the matter and say, you know what? At all costs, I have to make heaven my home. No matter what it takes, Brother Ken, I got to stick it out to the end. I may have bumps in the road, but I got to be able to rebound from those bumps, and I got to get back on track, Brother Mikey, and I got to understand God has a plan for me. God has a plan for me. But it is His Spirit. It's His Spirit that comforts us in knowing that even on my worst day in the church, it's still greater than my best day in the world. We have that comfort that even in the worst day in the church, it's still better than my best day in the world. When we have the Spirit applied to our lives and when we walk upright in front of the Lord, there's no greater feeling when you know that heaven is waiting on you on the other side when your life is over. There's no greater feeling when you get up off out of the altar after crying, after weeping, after giving it your all, and you get up and you know that, hey, I'm in right standing with the Lord. There's no greater feeling than laying your head down on the pillow at night knowing that if I were to leave this place at night, I would make heaven my home. There's no greater feeling to know that God is happy with you and God is satisfied with you. What better place to fall down than at the feet of Jesus? Paul had no idea what was going to happen to him. He was sitting in a jail cell. He was sitting in prison for his beliefs and for his ministry that he proclaimed. But I know for a fact, probably, that he didn't know what really the outcome was going to be sitting in a jail cell writing letters to these churches. I'm sure being in prison wasn't the most promising place to be, but because of the Holy Ghost living and breathing inside of him, he had the hope of glory. He had that hope. He had that rest assurance that, hey, everything's going to be okay. He had that peace that passes all understanding, Brother Ken. He had that thing about him, that gumption about him that says, hey, no matter what may happen, I've got something else laying on the other side of this thing for me. That's set aside, special for me. He knew that if it didn't end up the way he thought that it would end up, he would still end up in the hands of his Savior. I mean, you want to end up in the hands of your Savior. I want to end up in the hands of Jesus. What better place than to fall at the feet of Jesus? when life kicks you down, what better way than to fall into his hands, Jesus' hands? When life takes a sick twist and makes you feel so empty inside, what better way to fall than to fall into the hands of the Almighty God, Brother Paul? I'm so glad I have his spirit inside of me. I'm so glad I have something else beyond this world that I can hold on to and know that he understands where I'm at. He knows my heart. He knew me before I was even conceived, and he knew the plan that he had for me before I was even brought into this world. During the Exodus out of Egypt, during the time of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and they were in the Exodus out, the Bible says that the children of Israel had a cloud of glory round about them in the wilderness. There was a cloud of glory round about them in the wilderness. That cloud of glory symbolized God's presence. It symbolized his protection. And it symbolized his guidance. How many want those things? His presence, his protection, and his guidance. I got to have the glory of God in my life. I got to have the glory of God. That's what the glory of God does for you and I. It gives us presence, his protection, and his guidance. We read in Scripture that that same cloud departed from the children of Israel because of idolatry and disobedience towards him. It went away from them because they turned to disobedience in God, and they turned to idolatry, and they turned to riotous living, and they turned to all these other nasty living lifestyles that they thought was better off for them. As much as we love it and as much as we need it, if we are not careful, God will not share his glory with those who do not respect him or do not love him. He can take his glory away from you and from me. The glory that we feel when we play the instruments and when we sing the songs and when we praise and when we worship, that glory that comes down during the worship service, when we feel that can be quickly stripped away from us in this place tonight if we disobey him or if we turn to idolatry or if we turn to all this different wickedness. It can be stripped away from you and I. We can't afford to minimize and depreciate the glory of God. The moment we take for granted who God is the moment that the Spirit can be taken and can be lifted off of us. I don't ever want the glory of God to be stripped away from me. If we are abiding in him and following him and his ways, his glory will be round about you and I. I mean, we want to follow after God. I want his glory to be where I'm at. Everywhere the children of Israel went, it was a cloud of glory and a pillar of fire by night that protected them, that kept them safe, that guided them, that was there with them. Everywhere they went, God's glory was there. God's presence was there. Everywhere I go, I want God's presence to be right next to me. I got to have it every day. I got to have it every day. As the musicians come and as the singers come tonight, if the church wants to stand, I want to talk a little bit about Christ in you. Christ in you. You see, it's not enough just to believe in the Lord, but we must receive his Spirit. We must receive him for who he is. It's not enough just to believe. The scripture says, have you received him since you believe? We have to receive him. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, this is kind of our focus scripture here. It says, Paul says the phrase, Christ in you. A lot of people say, Christ, the hope of glory. Yes, but we forget that little section there in between Christ and the hope of glory. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you have that hope of glory. Once filled with his Holy Ghost, with his Spirit, once you're baptized, once you go under that watery grave and come back up and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's Christ, the hope of glory in you. Once baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you have that power. You have the same power Jesus has. We can lay hands on them, on people, and be healed. You can speak over somebody's problem or somebody's situation, and it can turn around. One day, I'm going to make heaven my home, church. And I advise you that one day you should make heaven your home tonight. I want to meet the one who took the nails in his hands and in his feet for me. I want to meet the one who gave his life for me. He hung on that cross for me. I'm a nobody from nowhere. Sometimes we think we are so important and that everything we do should be looked at as some great, magnificent thing. But at the end of the day, you and I, we are made from the dust of the earth. And I remember sitting at men's conference, and there's a man that preached men's conference, and some of you may remember him saying this, but he mentioned that we're really two generations to extinction. He mentioned that no one will really know your name after two generations. After two generations, you're pretty much a figment of somebody's imagination. And can I tell you tonight, the scripture says only what you do for God will last. And so I don't know about you tonight, church, but I want to do something for God tonight. I want him to work in my life, and then I want to share what he's done for me in my life. Sometimes we think we are so important, but that's not what God's design is. What God's design is I must decrease so he can increase. I must decrease so he can increase. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've got to be baptized. I've got to be filled with his Spirit. Then I want to make heaven my eternal home. What's the point of hoping for something that's never attainable, church? What's the point of hoping for something that's never going to be attainable? The scripture says we must be filled with his Spirit. Only then can I have the hope of glory. Only then can I have a hope outside of these four walls, outside of this world. Only then, if I'm baptized and if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost today and I'm identified with Jesus Christ, then I can have that hope of eternal glory with him. You won't obtain glory if you're not willing to hand your life over to Christ. If we're not willing to hand our life over to Christ, we won't obtain glory. How many want to hand your life over to Jesus tonight? How many want the hope of glory in your life tonight? How many want Christ living and breathing? Yeah, I may be sitting in a jail cell. Yeah, I may have ups and downs. Yeah, I may have turmoil that may come in my life, but I know that I have an expected end. Believe it or not, if you don't want to believe it, I'm just going to tell you anyways, you have an expected end tonight. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. It's a design for him, from him. And he has a plan and a purpose and a calling on your life. And he has a plan and a purpose and a calling for this church. In Jesus' name, I love this church tonight. Let's have the hope of glory tonight. Let's obtain that hope of glory tonight. Thank you, church.